Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
We always say this with our clients, right? Is learning can either be useful or interesting. We don't want it to be interesting. Improving and growing your business can be tough. To be better off than you are now, you need to be taking actions you aren't currently taking, which requires learning new things. Hey, look, I've got issues in my business. I know I need to do things differently. I just don't know where to start.
Yeah, look, the easiest way to do this is this tool called the 5 Whys. You've got to ask that first question. Why is that not going to plan?
The reason I can't get good guys is because they don't exist. That's when you know you've reached something that you don't understand. And that's usually where the learning comes in.
You need to do it.
What happens if you fall on your face? Does that mean the learning was bad? Does that mean the teaching was bad? Does that mean the bike was broken? Does that mean I'm an idiot? No.
There's a trap that I've seen quite a lot of times where people feel like they've learned the wrong thing and so they'll go and try and do more learning when they just need to.
Tune into today's episode where we cover how to learn in the most effective way so that you can get the results you want from your business.
You're listening to the Profitable Tradie Podcast, where every week we help you make more money, get your time back, and make life and business a whole lot more fun. Join us as we transform your plumbing, electrical, or similar service business into a successful operation. Don't miss a beat. Hit the follow button. Let's get started.
All right. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host today, Phil Smith, and we're here with Cam. He's our director of coaching. Very, very experienced guy. Looking forward to this, Cam. It should be fun.
You're looking extra muscly today, Phil.
Thanks, man. So are you. A little bit of bro love there.
Of course. Yeah. Never miss that.
Gotta love it. Awesome to have you here today, man. Today we're going to be digging into learning. Now, we are an education company. We teach stuff to people. And I think a lot of the time, the people that we're dealing with are coming in and they're saying, hey, look, I've got issues in my business. I know I need to do things differently. I just don't know where to start. And you know, the big thing that you need to be able to do in your business to get new results is to do new things, which requires learning new things and being able to implement them correctly. So, should be a fun episode because I think if we can nail the learning, we know where to learn, how to learn, and basically how to actually change stuff in our business. Well, that's where the magic starts to happen, right?
I'm excited for it, man. Learning's like my number one value in life, so and I know it is for a lot of people, so I'm pumped.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this episode, hey, look, you're learning already, which is great. So we've made a good start. Now, I've got a story to tell. And it's about Roger Bannister. So once upon a time in the world of competitive running, it was impossible to run a 4-minute mile. Like, you couldn't run a mile in less than 4 minutes. It was just not doable. No one was cracking that boundary until old Roger Bannister came along. And, you know, he cracked that 4-minute mile. And then within a very short space of time, lots of people did. Basically, they realized it was possible and then they were able to get after it. Now, you've probably heard that story before, but here's my take on this. The people that realized it was possible and actually started doing it were runners, right? Like, there were people that were close to that anyway. There were people that had already learned a lot of the skills and a lot of the behaviors. They'd done all the training. They'd eaten right. They had the body type. They were ready to go. They realized, hey, you can run a 4-minute mile. This is possible. That was the last step of the puzzle for them, and now they could do it. Whereas someone like me or you, Cam, I mean,
I'm not getting that 4-minute mile.
No, we're not. We'd be looking at that and going, cool, well, hey, Roger Bannister ran a 4-minute mile. That's great. I'm sure it's possible. Not for me, though.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, one of the big things here is that it's actually not that it's impossible for someone like me or you. It's just that, you know, we haven't actually learned all the stuff we would need to learn. We haven't done the training. We haven't lived that lifestyle. We haven't eaten that way. You know, and our body types probably reflect that.
Absolutely. So running, or run enough.
Yeah. So running that kind of distance and that kind of speed, I mean, that's why it's not possible, is actually because we haven't done all the other stuff that we would have needed to do. So having that realization of this is possible is great, but we would have needed to do a lot more learning, a lot more practice, a lot more, you know, changes to our lifestyle to actually be able to realize that possibility for us. And I think one of the biggest difficulties is, sometimes in business, we can see other people getting results that we really want to get, and we believe it's possible now, but just we maybe don't believe it's possible for us, and we wouldn't even have the foggiest clue where to start in order to actually, you know, make these things possible for us, even though we see other people doing them. So today, what I really want to unpack is how do we go about learning? How do we go about closing the gap between where we are and where we want to be? And I think if we don't really know how to do this, if we're not really sure how to learn, we run into some problems, right?
Yeah. Look, the first thing I think when it comes to learning is like not knowing what you need to learn. So for example, being a better business owner is so wide. Getting better results is so wide. Being able to nail down like what you actually need to do. Like, you want that new result. You might want more leads. You might want more cash in your business. But a lot of these things are generated from other things. So what do you need to learn to be able to actually improve your knowledge so that you can improve the result in the long run. That's the first one for me.
Yeah, if we break that down, I think it's very easy to start with quite an amorphous word, right? Like, I want to learn how to hire. Like, yeah, cool, that's great, but like, do you actually know what you want to learn about hiring? Or, you know, hey, I want to get a really good team. I don't have enough guys, or I don't have the right guys, or whatever. And that's fine, but what do you need to learn? What do you need to change? What do you need to get better at in order to actually achieve that goal, right? So I think, yeah, that's definitely the first problem.
Yeah, 100%. The second one is, like, there's so much information out there, like having no idea where to go to actually consume the right type of information. So once you know what you need to learn, so if you want to learn, for example, how to budget better in life, there's a million people trying to teach you how to budget on the internet.
Yeah.
And so, like, who's the credible source? Like, who, what's the right place to go and learn? Like, you can learn on YouTube, you can read books about this sort of stuff. Like, what do I pick to actually be able to learn from the best?
Yeah, yeah. Where
That's
do I
second
go?
Problem.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you don't want to go down the library and start flipping through every single book there. It's going to take some time. Like, it's probably quicker, more efficient, easier ways. So
absolutely.
That's definitely an issue. What's next?
Next one is learning from people that actually don't know what they're talking about. It's a massive problem. Like, a lot of people will talk to another guy in the same industry and for some reason believe that that person knows everything about everything. And so what he says is gold. And, you know, picking up some good stuff maybe, but picking up a lot of bad stuff and setting you into like a few bad behaviors, you can like model what they're doing and not get the result that you want, and then go back to that belief thing that you were talking about before, where it's not possible for me because you've actually just learned from the wrong person.
Yeah, well, you can have that that negativity reinforced as well, which is not ideal. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of terrible advice I've had from people down at the pub.
but you still know, don't know how to fish.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's right. I think, again, like, learning from the right people is very important. Not just the right place, but the right people, and learning how to shut out the views of people that haven't done what you want to do or can't do what you want to do. They actually haven't had the learnings, but they're still very quick to pass on their advice and their information. And basically, what does this lead to?
It leads to frustration. It leads to that lack of belief. Like, if you're reinforcing that negative belief, you're telling yourself that this can't be done. This can't be done for my business. This can't be done in my area. It's the way it's going to be going forward, where I can't improve whatever I want to improve.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And you get really frustrated, you get down, the belief drops or gets worse. Yeah. And you just sort of resign yourself to, well, this is as good as it's ever going to be. These problems are just going to be here forever. It's just part of life, and I'm just going to deal with this crap forever.
Yeah, problem is that sort of attitude flows into other relationships and things too. It flows into your team. It flows into the way that you deal with your kids and your spouse. It's actually quite a toxic way to be.
Yeah, 100%. Well, it leaves you powerless, which is not a good place to be. So on the other hand, you know, if we can actually get a bit of a system behind this, figure out how to actually take in new information, where to go, how to find it, what to find, you know, how to implement it, a lot of upsides.
Yeah, lots of upsides. Firstly, you develop a way to figure out like what to learn. Like, if you get into a good place with it, the way that you learn in general, like, you can analyze what's going on for yourself and for your business and really like silo into the right place to be able to get the right learning. Next, it's really, you know, being able to just trust certain resources. Like, if you know where to go to look to learn the right stuff, you've got a mode or a few modes. Like, you know, you're listening to this podcast right now, great start, right? And there's heaps of other podcasts out there. But if you've got trusted resources to be able to grow you in a certain area where you've figured out where you need to learn to be able to improve a result, you can go back and back that again and again and again to make sure that you, when you spot a gap, and you're learning and you need to improve something, you can go back to that place. You also get to a point where you know how to judge, like you were talking about before, you know how to judge when you're getting bad advice, you know what questions to ask, you know how to get to the bottom of whether, actually, I should model that behavior, or hell nah, and go in the opposite direction.
Thanks, Greg, at the pub, but I might just finish my beer and go home instead of listening to you.
Yeah, or you listen to them and you nod politely with that pencil smile on.
Yeah, well, you do that thing where you put your hand on the shoulder and you go, thanks, mate. Then just walk away. Like,
pat them on the head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. but, you know, if we can get all this together, what does that lead to?
Ultimately, it's like, it's that sense of belief that it's impossible to learn anything and actually improve. You can get from where you want to be to the result that you're chasing. You can close the gap through learning in the right way. Like, you know that you can get there. And honestly, like, that's really the secret sauce to get ahead in life, in business and in life. You know, to what I was saying before, it's like, if you believe that, It sets you into a way better state in the way that you show up around everybody else, that you can pull that behavior down to your team and they can learn and grow too. So it's massively powerful.
Yeah, it's huge. Well, where do we start? Like, I think one of the biggest problems that we see is figuring out what to learn. Like, a lot of people will have a problem they're dealing with and they're able to pretty correctly identify their problem or the way that they're feeling about an issue in their business. Like, hey, I've got a cash flow problem, or hey, I've got a big gap in my calendar I need to fill, or hey, I'm feeling really, really stressed out because I've got all these team members here, all these guys in the field, and I just can't manage it all. Like, but the really hard part is that these are usually all symptoms of actual problems. And so I think having a tool where we can A, identify what to focus on first, because again, you usually have multiple problems in your business and you probably can't do everything at once. But then, you know, B is being able to dig deep enough to find the actual root of what you need to learn. So like, what are some tools that we use to do this with our members?
Yeah, look, the first thing that you want to do is you want to identify the brightest fire or the biggest opportunity that you have. And so one thing we use all the time is this tool called the five drivers. So you're looking at outcomes and then we want to dig deep after that. So looking at the outcomes first, we want to look in the flow of business. So the five drivers are your leads that are coming in.
Yep.
So they're high quality and lots of them. Next, are you able to price those leads well? So knowing your margins.
Profit.
For profit, yeah. And then once you price them for profit, you actually got to be able to convert the jobs.
Yeah.
So doing a good sale and actually getting them across the line, you've got to be able to deliver on it well. So enough staff and actually good staff, good culture to be able to deliver a great job. And then you got to collect the money.
Yeah.
So those are the five drivers. And like, where is that biggest, brightest fire where you need to go and like silo in? And like, I think the point here is you can be really trapped into focusing on urgent stuff where that actually might not be your biggest problem. And if you're focusing all of your energy in that and learning that, like, you're not really going to move the result very far.
Yeah, well, great example of this is, hey, look, our efficiency on site's really, you know, it's really not where we need it to be. And this is a big problem. And if you dig a bit deeper than that, you might realize, well, it's because actually all of the clients we deal with are a real pain in the butt. And they make it really hard to actually deliver because they're always changing things or, you know, getting involved or like they're late letting us into site or whatever. You know, like, you could have any kind of issue and you're like, actually a lot of our efficiency on site, the problem is actually the clients. And so then if you work it back far enough, you're like, well, the real problem is that we had no options of other clients. And the real problem with that is because we just don't have enough leads.
Mm.
So like, if you had more leads, you could have had a lot more choice with who you work with. You don't have the difficult clients and actually the efficiency would have been solved. So I think it's being able to really identify and like diagnose back what the real problem is. And I think those five drivers are a really good place to start. Also, it helps you prioritize, because I think one of the hardest things in business is actually prioritization. And as a business owner, you know, you get so many issues that come up all the time. And some are really big, important issues. Some are big, important issues that just don't seem urgent, so you just put them off. Others are really, really urgent issues that are really, really pressing and they're right in front. It's like, it feels like a big deal, but it's actually not that important at all. You can have lots of different stuff on your plate at once, and knowing what to solve for, like which one to focus on, is really hard. So when you got that five drivers, what we usually do is we say, hey, you got leads. Leads need to be priced well for margin. You need to convert them. You need to be able to deliver a great job on what you've sold, and you need to be able to collect the money. If you nail those five things, your business is going to be pretty okay.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, there's a whole lot of other stuff you need to do, but those five things are the key five priorities in your business. And what we will normally do with our members is get them to rate each one. So don't overthink it. Just like, really, really quick, you can give it a 1, 2, or a 3. 1 is, it's terrible. That sucks. It's not, I don't know anything about it. Like, for example, you might give yourself a 1 in marketing or in leads, not because you don't know anything about marketing and how to get leads, but because leads are low. Like, you could get a 3 in marketing, which is my leads are really, really strong. I've got tons and tons of leads. I've got more opportunities I can deal with, even though you might know nothing about marketing.
Oh yeah,
that's okay. It can still be a 3 because that's not a problem in your business right now. It's going well. So you rate each one out of 3, give a score, and then pick your lowest. So circle the ones that are the lowest. You might have more than one that are equally low, a couple of ones. And then you choose the one that is the furthest to the left. So again, if we go in order, leads, pricing, conversion, delivery, and then collection, the one furthest to the left is the biggest problem. Because at the end of the day, if I don't have leads, there's nothing to price. If I haven't got leads that are priced well, there's nothing to convert. If I haven't got leads priced well that are converted, I've got no jobs to deliver. And if I haven't got leads priced well, converted, and delivered, there's nothing to collect. So You take your lowest score, that's the furthest to the left, that is your biggest priority, and everything else just kind of has to wait. And that way it'll really focus in your learning to an area of your business, and then we get into diagnosing what's the real problem that I'm having within that area. So how do we do that?
Yeah, look, the easiest way to do this is this tool called the five whys. So for example, if we've identified that delivery is the problem, we've got to ask, like, why are we not completing jobs on time or getting through the work, or the work quality is bad because delivery isn't capturing all of the job completion in general. And so you've got to ask that first question. Why is that not going to plan? And you'll get to a few answers, and it might be that you don't have enough staff, jobs are blowing out, or you're getting lots of callbacks and you're having to go and fix up jobs. Whatever the reason is, you get the answer, and then you have to ask why of that answer. And the reason why you want to ask why five times is because when you ask why again and again and again, it gets you down to the root cause, and we're dealing with the problem that's actually causing the total output of my delivery is bad in general.
Let's take that as an example. Let's say my delivery is bad. I've got leads coming in, I'm pricing them well, I'm converting them, but we're falling over delivering on what we've converted. Now, I might say, that's my problem. That's my biggest issue. Well, why is that a problem? Well, I just simply don't have the capacity. Like, there's not enough guys in the field. So, you know, we're all rushing around like blue ass flies. Everyone's rushing through jobs, and we also just can't actually get all these jobs in the calendar. So, you know, lead times are blowing out for, you know, getting stuff done. Clients are getting unhappy, whatever. Cool. Well, I say, well, I don't have enough capacity. So why do you not have enough guys and tools? Well, I find it so hard to find guys and tools. Why do you find it so hard? Well, because I'm just obviously not that good at marketing for talent, or like I don't have a really killer job ad, or you know, the job ads that I'm running are not getting bites. Well, why are they not getting bites? Well, because I'm actually not a copywriter. I don't know how to write a great job ad. Well, why do you not know that? Well, because I haven't learned it. All right, sweet, cool. Well, go learn to write a great job ad. Because if you can learn to write a great job ad, you can attract more talent, you can get the right guys in, you can staff up your team, you can have the capacity, you can deliver on time, shorter lead times, no rushing, and keep that quality high. If we take another example, let's say leads are a problem for me. So, you know, I just don't have enough leads in my business. Like, well, okay, cool, you don't have enough leads. Why? Well, I don't do a lot of marketing. Well, why don't you do a lot of marketing? Well, I don't believe in it. Well, why do you not believe in it? Well, because I've tried it before and it didn't work. Well, why didn't it work? Well, one of two things. You might say, because marketing's bollocks. By the way, that's wrong. Hopefully where you get to is a constructive place, and you say, well, because honestly, I didn't really know what I was doing with it. Well, okay, cool. Well, what did you not know? Again, slight variation, but it's pretty much why didn't you know? And you say, well, because I've never really looked into what type of marketing would work for the type of work that I want to get. Okay, cool. And why haven't you done that? Well, because I haven't learned it. Mm. Well, cool. So go learn that.
I think there's a couple, like the one thing stood out in both examples, just on the belief side of things. When you do this to yourself, nobody's checking you on your answers. And so you're looking yourself in the mirror, and you've really got to check yourself on with the hiring capacity. If your answer is there's no good guys in my entire city or country, you have to call yourself out on that, because if that's the why that you get to at the end of the day, you're left powerless because you can't change that.
And that's usually where the learning comes in.
Yeah.
So I think if you find yourself saying an unresourceful answer, like the reason I can't get good guys is because they don't exist, I'm like, that's when you know you've reached something that you don't understand. Like, you can never see past a decision that you can't understand, and you can never solve a problem that you don't understand. And a good way to, I think, check yourself on this is to say, hey, well, do other companies hire people? Well, yeah. Do other companies in small towns with low populations and, you know, do they hire people? Well, yeah, they do. Well, how do they do it? Well, I don't know, man. Must be magic. I'm like, well, if you get to that point, you know, it's something you don't know. There's something that they know that you don't know. Again, it's like, hey, look, if you get to yourself, you know, point with the leads example, and you say, well, because marketing doesn't work, it's bollocks. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, you've now hit an unresourceful place. So this is where you change your mindset. You think, well, hey, do other businesses market effectively? Yeah, cool. And do they find this a good way to get leads? Yeah. Well, if other people can do it, like, why can't you do it? It's not because you have some kind of cosmic disadvantage. It's because you haven't learned what they know. You haven't practiced what they've practiced. You haven't put in the repetitions that they have to get good at that thing. And this is where you find your focus in terms of what you need to learn,
and you start looking for that information and putting in those reps. So I think those two tools are really, really effective to actually figure out what we need to focus on, what we need to learn. So after that, we need to know where to go, right?
Yeah, we need to know where to go. And look, there's an abundance of information out on the planet, isn't there? Especially now. And it's getting bigger and bigger, especially with AI and things like really coming to the party. So, you know, you've got things like like Instagram and TikTok just throwing information at you, especially if you're a scroller. You'll just get things thrown at you that you watch, right? And so you get, honestly, a bunch of bullshit coming up, and there might be some useful stuff for sure.
Yeah.
But like, where are the useful things? Like, one, like props to you listening to this right now. You're in a good spot. You're listening to a podcast, lots of information here. And there's lots of good podcasts out there, whether it's, you know, just general business podcasts, motivational podcasts, like lots of things where you can like pick up new information to be able to go and try and implement. There's lots of good information on YouTube, especially like how to do things. Like, that's a great place to go and learn something once you've identified any sort of gap. I'm a massive fan of Audible. Like, if I'm real honest, I'm driving a lot. I drive to see family and friends quite a lot. And so that means I'm in the car a lot. And it's really like a university on wheels. It's, if you don't know what Audible is, it's effectively a book that's read by an author or somebody who's paid to read it. And they tell you a nice story about the book. The book is read to you in your ears. And it's a way that you can consume information, especially if you're busy. And a lot of you guys listening are probably feeling the pinch of time. And so if you don't have time to sit down and actually read a book at night, or you're gassed or whatever, like, that's a great way, job to job, whatever.
Tony Robbins always says that if you can read someone's book, you just consume 10 years of their life, like 10 years of their knowledge and experience. And so the thing is you can gain a lot of knowledge and experience if you live to 1,000. I mean, King Solomon was so wise because he was super old, dude. But the thing is like, you probably aren't going to live to 1,000. So one way that you can get 1,000 years worth of knowledge and experience in your lifetime or in the next couple of years is, well, read a lot of books, man. Yeah. Like, I mean, that'll help. But the problem is sitting down and reading a ton of books is hard. I mean, a lot of people are probably listening and they're thinking, geez, I've only read 2 books in the last year or something, maybe even less. Yeah. So that's cool. But I mean, if you get something like Audible, it's just a lot easier. And I think what you're tapping into here is something I think is really important with learning. A lot of the time people say, oh man, I just don't know where to go. What's the best place to learn? And I'm like, the place that you find it easy to participate.
100% agree.
If you're the type of person that finds it easy to sit down with a book, then cool, read books. If you're the type of person that hates sitting down with a book, I'm like, so listen to stuff like Audible or a podcast, which you're doing now. So, I mean, clearly you like this medium. But you know, again, if you're the type of person that's really visual, you want to see something, I'm like, cool. So YouTube, I mean, like, these podcasts are all on YouTube as well. There's a good chance you're watching this right now on YouTube. But the point is like, pick a medium that works for you. I know for me, I like listening. So I listen to a lot of podcasts, listen to Audible, all that kind of stuff. That's a big thing for me. My wife's a lot more visual. She'll get into YouTube clips. Like, that's her thing. So I think it's just down to you and what's actually going to work for you as to where to go. Which really leads us to, who should you listen to? Because like you said, there's a lot of info out there, you know, whether it's all the 1,000 snake oil salesmen online or whether it's, there's hundreds of good podcasts, there's like thousands of good books. Mm. Who should you listen to? And obviously there's hundreds of guys at the pub, which will offer you their opinion for free too. And everyone you know in your industry. So like, where do you go? And how do you decide whether somebody is credible?
Yeah, look, credibility is at the forefront of it. Now, there's people online that have written a lot of books or they're reviewed really well, and you can go down that alley of figuring out, you know, how do you know that Tony Robbins is a credible source, right? You know, because of the millions of followers that he has and the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who pay to go to his events.
Well, he must be doing something right. I mean, otherwise all these people wouldn't go to those events and he wouldn't have all of these books he's put out and all of these audio programs and people wouldn't pay the money that they pay to go to an event of Tony Robbins and you wouldn't know who he was. That's another thing.
Yeah, it's true.
We're sitting here talking about Tony Robbins. I mean, there's a reason for that, you know? Yeah. It's the same as like, if you got advice from Jeff Bezos, it's like, I'd probably take it, man. Cause I mean, like, everyone knows who he is and they know why they should listen to him.
You know how much money he has in his bank account.
I mean, there's a credibility factor there, but I think the hard part is there's a lot of people that you see online, which actually might be credible, but they don't have the fame of Tony Robbins, Jeff Bezos. So it's harder to make that decision. So where do we look?
It's the same with people that are maybe even in your industry giving advice as well. And I think it's the questions that you ask and the response that you get and being able to like quickly analyze whether it's a good response. So in terms of credibility, you might want to know like how they achieved a result that they got. So if they're talking about something that they've done, what was the result? How did they get to the result? How confidently can they speak about how they got to the result? So was it actually just chance and did it just work as a one-off, or is it something that they've manufactured and they're getting this thing continuously? Like how long have they got that result when they've done that thing? So what's the testimonials for somebody that's online? Like what can they provide in terms of stories or examples of when that thing has worked, as opposed to just saying do this thing like this and you'll get this result? Because that without anything else backing it up, like anyone could say that.
Yeah.
So it's really about the case studies or examples that they're using, that those things provide credibility.
Yeah. What proof can you see?
Yeah.
And again, like if somebody, you see a great video online, looks like it makes sense. You look and the dude has 10 followers and no testimonials or comments or anything. I'm like, well, maybe pinch of salt there. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you see, you read a book or you listen to it on Audible and you see it's been reviewed 3 times, I'm like, okay, cool. But if a book's been reviewed, 3,000 times, I'm like, well, it's probably a bit more credible. Yeah. So again, there's a bit of social proof and that you can find. But I think you had a good one there with asking questions. So like sometimes it's easier with books and podcasts and stuff like that. Can be a bit harder with asking people in your industry. Like you'll be asking people that you know around town, hey, what are you doing in terms of marketing, man? Like what's working for you? Or hey, what are you doing, to find talent, to find good people? Like what's working for you? I think the thing is people are very quick to give you an answer, but then saying, well, how do you know?
Yeah.
How many times have you done that? How has that worked out? What's been the rate of success you've had with it? Like what iterations have you been through with that process? So when someone says, hey, I hire this way, I ask these questions. I'm like, cool. How many times have you tweaked that? Because people that have really got it right will have been working on this for a while, that have tweaked it, that have perfected it. They probably didn't make it up last week and now they're telling you it's gospel. I mean, if they're doing that, then they don't actually have any proof yet. So I think the real key here is when someone gives you advice, question it. And people that actually have solid advice will be happy to answer your questions. They'll be confident in their answers and the answers will make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. People that say, oh man, it's just how it works. I'm like, I'd be skeptical of that answer.
Yeah. You got to dig deep on it too. Like if somebody's telling you that they get work through word of mouth and that's like that's tried and tested for them as a random example, like they might actually be telling the truth, but it's not because of luck or chance. It's because they've set up something in the background, like a referral system, or they have such great quality of work and it like leaps and bounds ahead of you for some reason, whatever it is, that it's a bit more manufactured and there's other things.
Well,
that
that's
are causing
the thing
it.
Is one person says I get work through word of mouth. Yeah. And you're like, how much? And they're like, oh, I don't know, just my calendar's full. And you're like, well, what are you doing to drive that? And they're like, I don't know, man, it just happens. You just be good and people book. I'm like, yeah,
that's not great advice.
No, Sherlock. I mean, like that, like it's kind of true. And so we can take it as gospel. Whereas someone you should really listen to is when you say, well, what do you mean by that? And they say, well, look, a lot of our customers refer. And you say, oh, how do you make sure that happens? And they go, well, we ask them to.
Yeah.
We do follow-up calls and courtesy calls after jobs to check in. How was it? Like everything go well, cool. And we ask them, hey, do you know anyone else in your area that might need this? So the thing is they're actually driving that, or maybe they actually have incentivized referral programs and stuff like that. And so then they'll start to talk about that. And I'm like, cool, well, it's word of mouth, but it's, you're driving the word of mouth. There's a strategy there. There's something to learn. There's something to be taken from this. Whereas someone who just says, we just get word of mouth, I'm like, cool. So you are just lucky.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it wrong. It just means there's nothing you can learn from this person.
You're looking for specificity versus ambiguity in a lot of these cases, right? If someone can't clearly articulate it with detail and examples, you're probably dealing with somebody who doesn't actually know it.
Which brings me to the next thing, and I think this is probably the most important part of the episode, which is I think we can figure out what we need to learn. We can really diagnose to the root cause of the problem. We can figure out where to go, and we can figure out how to assess whether the learning is from the right person and whether we're learning the right stuff. And then we can learn. But the problem with the learning is, we always say this with our clients, right, is learning can either be useful or interesting. And we don't want it to be interesting, because interesting is cool. It's like popcorn for the mind. You get smarter. But end of the day, like, we want to be learning to get results. And that's where it becomes useful, is when you can get a result. And the only way that comes is from implementation. So learning something is great, but until you implement it, until you do something with it, it's just interesting. It's not yet useful.
So how do we make it useful? What would you say is the biggest advice you'd give when implementing new learning?
Look, I think we've got to define implementing as well. You know, implementation isn't just doing it once. Implementation is doing this thing on a cycle. It becomes a business as usual system, for example. So one example to bring forward is doing this thing called, that we call a 20, which is a one-on-one coaching session that you do with each direct report that you have, each employee every week. And if you go and learn that thing, you learn how the system works, you learn how to ask the right questions through this coaching session to develop your people. If you go and do that thing three times in a week with your three staff, and you go, all right, I should have a result now. All my staff should be a lot better. Are you going to get a result?
I should be really good at this now.
I should be
amazing. Because I learned it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should be the best coach there is.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you actually just haven't done this enough to be good at it yet. And I think a lot of the time we learn something and we go to implement it and we try it. And we try it once or twice and say, you know, I didn't get exactly the result I wanted. You know, it doesn't work. Or I've learned the wrong thing. Or I wasn't taught very well. Or maybe I'm not a good learner. But the reality is repetition is actually where we learn. Like I always talk about, you know, people talk about, you know, auditory learners, visual learners, etc. I referred to that earlier, and I think there's some truth in that with how you take information in. But the reality is, you don't learn anything until you actually do it. You know, example I use is with tennis. I suck at tennis. If I'm an auditory learner, I should be able to listen to Serena Williams talk about tennis and then go out and be as good as her, right? Wrong. Like, my wife's a visual learner. She should be able to watch Serena Williams on TV and then go out and be as good as her. Right?
Wrong.
Yeah, you know, I mean, reality is until we pick up the racket and do the hours and you know, hit tennis balls as often as Serena Williams has and do the practice Serena Williams has done, we'll never be as good as her. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. So yeah, with your example with the 20, the way to get really, really good at a 20 and to really, really learn it is to do it a lot. Like, and sure, you need to get that learning at the start so you know what you're trying to practice, but it's the practice that actually cements the learning and delivers the result. We see this all the time with sales, right? Like, I mean, someone comes in with sales and they're like, hey, I'm really, really great at sales. I think I could get better. And I'm like, well, how do you think you could get better? And they're like, oh, you know, experience. And I'm like, cool. Well, what do you mean by experience? And they say, well, I just got to do it for longer. I'm like, what do you mean by that? And they're like, maybe in a few years I'll be really good at this. And I'm like, yeah, but experience and tenure are not the same thing. And I think sometimes we say, this person's good at something because I've been doing it for 10 years. I'm not good at it because I've been doing it for 1 year. But if you look at like the 20, if I do a 20 once a week for the next 10 years, I learn at one rate. If I do the 20 five times a week, because I've got five direct reports and I do it weekly, and I practice doing the 20, like I role play it with people or I, you know, practice with my wife or something outside of that, and I end up doing 20 20s essentially per week, I'm gonna surpass that 10-year experience very, very quickly. And we see it with sales. You know, like we get one person who says, oh, I've done like 300 sales calls. And I'm like, cool, well, you know, here's one of our guys. He's done 300 sales calls today.
That person's getting better, he's faster than you.
Yeah. It's like, you know, and I think the thing is we actually all start at the same point. Everyone starts at a point of not knowing something. People that are really good at something, it's because they've done it a lot, man. Like, it's really just that. If you're looking at your numbers and you're thinking, I'm not a numbers person, I look at my P&L and it looks like gobbledygook. I'm like, well, how many times have you looked at it? Oh, well, I look at it every month. Well, how many months? I've been doing this for 6 months. I'm like, cool, you looked at it 6 times?
Hmm.
I'm like, don't expect this to be like, you know, easy for you to understand yet.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if you're looking at this every day and you're really trying to see the story and the numbers and you're asking questions and developing your learning and practicing reading this, it's you're going to get a lot better a lot faster.
Yeah.
And you close that gap. And I think it's how much have you really done this? How much work have you actually put in? That's where you're really going to learn and really going to master new things. And that's where the results live, man.
There's a trap that I've seen quite a lot of times where people do try what you're talking about, something a couple of times, and they feel like they've learned the wrong thing. And so they'll go and try and do more learning when they just need to just practice and practice and practice. And one that we get told quite a lot is like, I'm a terrible manager. I need to learn how to be a terrible manager. But they're avoiding the difficult conversations with their team. their team need correction and realignment on expectations a lot, but they won't do it until they get to the point where they're so frustrated they just blow up, which is not practicing.
Like, what if I don't do a good job the first time? It's like, well, you won't.
No one will.
You won't. Sorry, bro.
Like, you need to do
it's
it.
It's like the very first time you rode a bike. It's like, you know, your mom or your dad tells you how to do it. They show you how to do it. They show you how to push the pedals. They take the training wheels off. What happens? You fall on your face the first time. You know, like, does that mean the learning was bad? Does that mean the teaching was bad? Does that mean the bike was broken? Does that mean I'm an idiot? No, it means it's the first time I rode a bike. You know, like, you just need to do it more. And I think eventually, you know, it's that repetition, it's that practice, which is where the learning really sticks. And there's some stuff which you can have explained to you, which is cool. But until you really do it, it's hard to actually understand what's been explained to you, to really, you know, internalize and just understand at that deep level what you're actually trying to achieve, or what the person has told you when you're learning. Because, you know, experience is everything. And just, again, clarifying, experience is not tenure. Experience is the amount of times you have done something. People say, I'm bad at hiring. I'm like, how many people you hired? One. Okay, cool. How'd you do it? Oh, I took them down the pub. We had a few beers and I asked them whether or not they're a good tradesman. I'm like, okay, cool. There's learning to do. So we do the learning. You hire someone again and you're like, oh, I don't think I did a great job of it. I'm like, cool, you did it once. Like, oh, well, I don't know if I nailed the interview script. I'm like, cool, well, how many times did you practice it? I didn't. I just went in and followed the script. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, do you realize that the people that are hiring in our business, we hire people daily here at Profitable Tradie almost.
Yeah.
We are always hiring. And if you look, but, you know, the guys that are doing the hiring, it's like, we've been through these interview processes thousands of times. More importantly than that is we've practiced them even more than we've done them.
Yeah. And then learned and tweaked things.
That's why we're good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, yeah. I think it's just asking yourself that question is, am I actually not good at this? Is this actually not a doable thing? Or have I just not done it enough? You know, because sometimes it's one thing to identify the problem, figure out where to learn, know where to go, know how to assess the information, but then still lack the belief. Because I think we see that a lot with our members, right? Like, what are some of the key beliefs that we see when it comes to learning coming from our guys?
I hear this one all the time. I'm not a numbers guy. I suck with numbers. And you were talking about the P&L looking like gobbledygook before. And, like, honestly, that's bollocks. Like, reality check. You don't suck with numbers. You go and quantify. When you go and look at houses and you measure up all the time when you go on a site, like, you're working with numbers, just not in the context that you're looking at a profit and loss.
I'd say every single person that works in the field for you is better with trigonometry than like probably the rest of the population. You just don't call it trigonometry. But
yeah.
Yeah.
We hear, I'm good with my hands, not with my voice or my head quite a lot. Like, I'm just somebody who belongs on the tools.
It's like, no, you've just practiced with your hands a lot yeah. more. That's all. Like, yeah.
And all of the learning that you've been doing for the last how many years has been with your hands and on the tools.
Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense.
We get people saying, I'm not book smart, I wasn't good at school. I'm like, book smart? I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, you actually read stuff all the time for your work. You implement what you've read all the time. Like, there's no such thing as book smart. There's just, you know, the thing is, you're actually a great learner. You learned all through your apprenticeship, you've learned all through your career, you've learned on the job as you go, you've learned from all different sources. Like, you learn stuff all the time and you're actually really good at it. You've learned to be a master craftsman. You can learn. You just need to know, A, what to learn, and then you need to put in the practice. Like, no one gets mad at the first year apprentice on day one because he doesn't know how to be a tradesman. It's like, yeah, well, it's day one.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're learning a new skill, just remember, this is day one. Don't expect to be good. Expect to put in the work, put in the reps, do as much reps as you can in the shortest amount of time, and you'll nail the skill. It's really that simple.
I know it sounds really basic, but if you're sitting here believing that you're not a learner for any sort of reason, I'd really challenge you to go back and look at the learning that you've done in the last 10 years and think about anything. It doesn't have to be in a work context. If you've learned to bake or cook something, or you've learned a new fitness skill, like, that stuff is all still learning, and it's ridiculous to think that you can't learn a new skill. So it's just applying it in the right way, going back to what we were talking about before. What's the gap? And then going and focusing on that part and figuring out exactly what it is, diagnosing it, and then going to the right place to learn 100%, it, right?
100%. Well, so we land this plane.
Yeah, man.
All right, cool. Well, I think in a nutshell, improving and growing your business, like we said, it can be really, really tough. And often it's the things that we don't know which are holding us back. It's the things that we haven't practiced enough that are holding us back. And it can be a bit of a black box. Where to start, what to do, who to believe. that's going to actually hold us back from getting those learnings. But then after that, you need to have the implementation, the repetitions. That's where the learning sticks and becomes mastery, and that's where you're really going to get the results that you want. So get after those learnings, use those tools, get stuck in and put in those reps, guys, because that's where you're going to find all of the results. So thanks heaps for listening, and we'll see you again next time.
Cheers.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
Most trades businesses are stuck in chaos. Everything lives in their head. They're constantly firefighting, fixing mistakes, or working nights and weekends just to stay afloat. But systems change that. They take the business out of your head and turn it into a repeatable machine that others can run. So in this episode, I'm going to walk you through 5 key steps to systemize your operation.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.